Peace of the Lord be with you. Hope College. One of the things I love about Hope is all of the amazing people that gather here. An institution isn't bricks and mortar. An institution is made up of people. One of the favorite people I've gotten to know over the last 2 years is a new professor, Jared Ortiz, who teaches in the religion department. There's a lot I could say about my good friend. I could tell you his pedigree, University of Chicago, St. John's, Catholic University in D.C. But the one thing I want to emphasize and highlight before he comes up and shares his story is that he's a man who's given his life over to God. He knows that there's a sweetness in the sanctuary because he believes in God with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And not just any God. God the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, the God who's revealed to us in the Scriptures, who the church proclaims throughout the ages. He didn't always believe this, and he's going to share a little bit of that story with you today, how he came to give his life to God. Would you please give our beloved professor, Dr. Jared Ortiz, a little Hope College welcome?
When Trigg asked me to speak at Chapel, he'd asked if I would tell my conversion story, and I agreed on the condition that what happens in chapel stays in chapel. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, please pray Psalm 42 with me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? The word of the Lord. So my conversion story begins when I was a baby. See, I'm a cradle Catholic. That means I was baptized when I was an infant. And in my tradition, that means that when you're baptized, you become a son or a daughter of God. And in retrospect, this is a very comforting thought to me because that meant that when I wandered, and I did wander, that I wandered as a son and not as a stranger. I wandered as a prodigal son and not as a prodigal stranger. My parents were good people, but they were never really sort of on fire for Christ. But they took me to church and they taught me my prayers and the basics of my faith. But when I was 8 years old, my parents got divorced. And some of you know this experience, and you know what happens is that things fall apart. And one of the things that fell apart was my religious upbringing. The other thing that fell apart was my understanding of God, because our parents are our first image of God. They're our first encounter with the love of God, and so that was damaged in me. The other thing that fell apart was the rest of my life. I entered into a period of rebellion, and I got into a lot of bad activities. I got into stealing. I got into shoplifting. I got into vandalism. I got into arson. I also almost flunked out of eighth grade, and then I almost flunked out of ninth grade. But when I got to high school, something happened. I fell in love. I fell in love with a girl, this girlfriend became the center of my life. This girl and this group of friends that I have became the center of my life. Right? And in many ways, it was very good. There was a lot of joy. There was a lot of fellowship. There was a lot of sin. But there was a lot of fellowship. And for 3 years, I wouldn't say I worshipped this group of friends, but that this group of friends was my church. This was the place that I went to find ultimate meaning. And God, in his mercy, took that away. My senior year of college, my girlfriend and I broke up, and all of the friends went with her. And so my church fell apart. My source of meaning fell apart. And thank God. And thank God. So this is where I was when I entered college, when I was your age, right? And so I was lonely, I was severely depressed, I was brokenhearted, and I had no meaning, I had no direction. And so when I went to college, I went to the University of Chicago, I remember very vividly the first day, orientation week, I had all of my boxes. I was waiting for the dorm to open, and there was an orientation aide walking around, and he and I got into a conversation. And in the midst of that conversation, he said, "The University of Chicago is famous for turning people into atheists." And I remember thinking, I'm already an atheist. I have nothing to lose. And that was a turning point for me. That was a turning point for me. I didn't know it at the time, but that was a turning point for me because I threw myself into my studies because I wanted to find a way. I didn't know what the way was, and I didn't know where the way was going, but I needed to find a path. And so God, in his mercy, put things in my life. He put people and books in my life. And the first person he put in my life was an agnostic Jewish professor who loved wisdom. She was a true philosopher, a true lover of wisdom. And I read, with this agnostic Jew, I read Plato's Apology. And I didn't understand any of it. But one line stuck out to me, where Socrates says, "The sole pursuit of money is an unworthy life for a human being. Rather, you should devote yourself to making your soul as good as possible." And I said, that's it. I want to make my soul as good as possible. And then I read Aristotle's Ethics. And I said, that's what the good life looks like. And I fell in love with virtue. I didn't practice virtue, but I fell in love with virtue. And then I read the book of Genesis. It was the first time I had ever read the word of God. And one story stuck out into me in particular was Jacob and Esau, and maybe you know it. Jacob tricks his brother Esau out of his blessing and birthright, and they're estranged for 20 years, and they have this very dramatic reunion where Esau comes to meet him with an army of 400, and Jacob bows down to the ground 3 times, they run to each other and they embrace, and Jacob looks at his brother and says, "To see your face is like seeing the face of God." And I thought, I've never heard anything so beautiful in my life. What does it mean to see the face of God? I didn't know God. What does it mean to see the face of God? And I spent the next 4 years trying to find an answer to this question. God put other people in my life. He put a faithful Muslim in my life. And this faithful Muslim became a very good friend of mine, and he taught me what it meant to submit my will to God. He told me what it meant to be wholeheartedly devoted to God, to be all in. Right? I didn't even believe in God, but he planted that seed in me. And then I met a faithful Catholic professor, and it was the first faithful Catholic I had ever met. And when I met him, the last of my prejudices fell away. Right? Because I had had this lifelong prejudice that Christians were dumb. And I was smart, and they were dumb, and so we couldn't get along. But when I met him, he was so intelligent, and he was so generous, and he was so open-hearted. I said, I cannot stay away from God any longer. I cannot stay away from church any longer. I decided to go back to church the next day. I went to Mass. It was a Wednesday. I went 6:30 a.m. I couldn't get enough. Right? And what I found when I went back to church was this beautiful tradition that had answers to my deepest questions. Our historic Christian faith, right? It's what we call it here, right? That's what I discovered. And I found that they had answers to how God unites faith and reason, how God speaks to my intellect and my heart, how he attends to my body and my soul, that the whole person, right? They had teachings about the whole person because God wants to save the whole person. So for me, in my conversion story, there was sort of no road to Damascus moment. There was no flash of lightning where God utterly revealed himself and I had a conversion on the spot. Right? Instead, what happened was God slowly drawing me back in the only way that he could, in the only way that I would let him. And he said, "You are my son, and I want you to come home." He said, "I marked you as an infant. I marked you for Christ, and you belong to me." And he brought me home. And I'll close with this final thought. is that when I came back, right, even though this is the end of my story because our time is up, it was really the beginning of my story. Because what I found was, even though I had the intellect of an educated 20-year-old, I had the spiritual life of an unformed 8-year-old. And that growing up process, that growing up spiritually, was a very painful process. And 15 years later, I am almost caught up. Brothers and sisters in Christ, please pray with me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good and merciful God, you call us into existence from nothing. You call us to be your sons and daughters in Christ. You call us to seek your face always. We call down your Spirit into our hearts, Lord, wherever we are on our journey of faith. And we ask that you lead us to you, that you draw us to your divine heart, that we may dwell with you eternally. We ask these things in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.